examination will inevitably highlight flaws that were invisible from afar. The very act of inspection is, practically speaking, an act of criticism. Only the perfect would emerge from such scrutiny undiminished. So, perhaps, before proceeding to examine Israel, we should first pause to examine ourselves. Most of us who dissect Israel's founding and subsequent struggles have never made a similar study of any other nation, including our own. So, why Israel? Does our focus on Israel speak to the special nature of Israel's sins? Or does this singular scrutiny reflect instead a flaw animating Israel's accusers? Israel's critics are quick to claim the former. They don't deny their special focus on Israel. They rationalize it by reference to Israel's alleged crimes. The modern anti-Israel narrative focuses on a trio of Palestinian grievances in particular: occupation, statelessness, and refugeedom. Occupation and statelessness. The crux of the modern complaint against Israel is that it is occupying the land on which the Palestinians want to build their state, thereby rendering them stateless. Those leading the attack typically speak of occupation and statelessness as crimes so outrageous that they invalidate any defense. As Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas phrased it in 2014, "We are the only people on earth still living under occupation. Not acceptable." The underlying claim is true. The Palestinians are indeed stateless. But the issue of causation is more complex. Just because the Palestinians are stateless does not mean that Israel is to blame. National suffering, much like personal pain, can be self-inflicted. The fact is that the Palestinians have been offered a state of their own in practically all of the West Bank and Gaza, and in even larger territories, on five separate occasions. The first offer was made in 1937. The most recent offer was made in 2008. The Palestinians turned down each of these deals. This history of independence offered and rejected should at least give critics pause before they point their fingers at Israel. It's also important to note that statelessness is not the singular, insufferable condition that so many suppose it to be. President Abbas's protestations notwithstanding, the Palestinians are not the only occupied people on the planet. Far from it. The Encyclopedia of the Stateless Nations chronicles the claims of 350 stateless nations. And the encyclopedia's author is quick to stress that these 350 examples represent only a fraction of the world's stateless nations. He profiled only those stateless nations that are actively seeking their independence. There are multiple stateless nations that have never organized or sustained independence movements. In fact, according to the United Nations, only 3% of the world's 6,000 national groups have achieved statehood. Some of these stateless nations are relatively new ones, such as the Palestinians, who developed their national identities after World War I, World War II, or even later. Other stateless nations are ancient ones, such as the Kurds, who have had their own separate identities for centuries. Some of these stateless nations are small and obscure, such as the 790,000 Djivans of Korea and the 1.3 million Mijirteens of Somalia. Other stateless nations are large yet still obscure, such as the 23 million Igbos of Nigeria or the 11 million strong Baluch community in Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and India. Other stateless nations have higher profiles, such as the 6.5 million Tibetans in China and the 70 million Tamils of South India and northern Sri Lanka. Nor is statelessness merely a third world problem. The Atlas of Stateless Nations in Europe.